Muchas gracias, hermanos. Amén, gracias. Toma el asiento. Muchas gracias, Dios les bendiga a todos ustedes. First Timothy chapter 5 verse 22, please. I want to thank Brother Douglas and Pastor for the trust. They trust me with to preach in chapel, be part of chapel. I count it a huge privilege and a great responsibility. I want to share something with you this morning. The Lord gave me just this week, and so I hope it can be a blessing to you. Something that I've been really hanging on to for a long time, the points that I'm going to give you, since I was young. I was saved at the age of 16, and at the time came from a broken home, started going to church. At the age of 17, I surrendered to serve the Lord full-time in a youth camp. At that time, the lifestyle that I was living, obviously, was very ungodly. Obviously, I was not fully surrendered to the Lord. I was a Christian, but a lot of things hadn't changed in my life. And I was still struggling with music and friends, and I still wore an earring in my ear, and I was saved, but I hadn't grown. And it wasn't until I surrendered to the Lord at the age of 17 at camp that God really got a hold of my heart. At that camp, I got to meet who now is my wife. At that camp, for the first time, I saw her on the bus. I got onto the bus and sat in the back, and the back of the bus, and she sat in the front seat. And as we were waiting to take off, I looked towards the front. I was quite upset. I didn't want to go to camp, but that day my mom convinced me to go to camp. Anyways, I looked up in the front, and there she was. She was sitting on the seat facing back, talking to some friends that were sitting behind her. And that was the first time I had ever seen her. And I said to myself, who's that girl? I wasn't really focused on that. I was there really... grudgingly so. I didn't want to go to camp. I was more upset than anything else. But that was the first time I saw her. And that night, the first night of camp, the Lord got a hold of my heart, and that's when I surrendered to full time. After that, I started going to church more faithfully, obviously. And I remember beginning to serve the Lord as an usher. That was my first responsibility at the door. Opening the door for everyone, and I remember parents and mothers and walking in with their kids just looking at me like, is this for real, or what's going on? This guy, you know, out of all the guys, now he's an usher. But nonetheless, the Lord began to change my heart as I grew in the Lord, and as I got to know my friend at the time, my wife, I left public school. Because I really knew that if I didn't leave my public school, the friends that I had there, the lifestyle, the pressures that were there, so many things, I said, I'm not going to make it. And I decided to leave public school and go to Christian school for my senior year. And I left a lot of things in the back behind because of that decision, a few scholarship opportunities and so on and so forth. But... I remember as a young man there trying to go to Christian school, my parents were separated. I had to help my mom out with rent, and I had to pay for my own education. And I'm thankful for the Christian school and the church there. They gave me work scholarships. I would work from 6 to 8 in the morning, and then I'd go to Christian school. And then when I got done, I had about an hour and a half to play sports. And then I would rush to an Arby's sandwich shop about a few blocks away from there. Downtown, and I would work from 5 all the way to 11 o'clock at night every day, and I'd get home to do homework and so on and so forth. And that was the Christian school that I got to go to, and I'm thankful for that. I left a lot of bad friends in public school, and I thought going to Christian school was going to really help me, you know, with good kids. And then I realized quickly that that in Christian school there was it was a different kind of animal there in Christian school. They were doing things behind everybody's back, and in Christian school they were one thing. And I quickly learned that that's the stuff that kind of goes on. But nonetheless, I'm thankful that I left public school, because I don't think I would have made it. I'd rather deal with that than public school. But during that time, I got to meet, know my wife, and we dated during that senior year. Really not dated, really. When I wanted to go out and date with her, I had to take the whole family out. I had to take parents and my her little brothers and sister, and so whenever I'd go out to date on a date with her, I had to pay at least $200, $250 or more. So I decided, led by wisdom, that maybe we weren't going to go out too many dates. So I settled for just seeing her at church from time to time, obviously on the weekends, and in school we got to talk really briefly during school. But during that time, getting to know her, I had struggles with her mother, because her mother really didn't like me. She was our Sunday school teacher, and she knew me before the changes came and everything, and she knew where I was coming from. And when she found out that I was trying to get to know her daughter, she was really adamant that she once told me, she said, "You will never," she got me in a corner, and she said, "You will never, ever, ever end up with my daughter. I'm just letting you know that." And I said, "Well, God bless you. Thank you very much." And so after a while, getting to know her, then we graduated, went to Bible college there in California, and started growing in the Lord. And really, we got to a place where, if it wasn't for my pastor's wife, that on a Sunday morning before Sunday school, she was walking in Sunday school. She was a Sunday school teacher, and my pastor's wife had a conversation with her, and she told my mother-in-law. She said, "You know," she said, "Claudia," she said, "I noticed that this and this and this," and she says, "Yeah," she goes, "because I just don't know I that guy, you know." And she said, "You know, you better give him a chance. I think God's really working in his heart, and he's not perfect, but give him a chance," and so on and so forth. Because of that conversation, she invited me the following Sunday to her house to eat some pozole. And I like pozole. If you don't know what pozole, get right with God, all right? But I had some pozole. And I don't like all the stuff that they put in pozole, but I mean, I just eat it with chicken and maybe some meat and so on and so forth. But that, you know, my mother-in-law, she likes to put ear and pig's feet in it and all this other stuff in it, you know. So I went there, and because of the opportunity I was getting, I ate those pig feet like there was nothing else in the world, and I would suck the toes and everything, and I ate the earlobes and the pozole, and I did what I had to do. But nonetheless, through our relationship, you know, fast forward, we got married in 1995, the semester before I graduated. And here we are 25 years later, getting to serve the Lord. And I'm so thankful for my wife. If it wasn't for my wife and the influence she's been in my life and the help that she's been, I would not be where I'm at in the Lord. And I'm so thankful for a lot of things. And what I want to talk to you about is something that I got a hold of when I was 17 years old, that a good friend of mine named Mike Valdez gave me in advice. And he said, "Andy, if you want to make it, if you want God to use you, I'm going to give you advice, and I'm going to give you some things that will help you that are most important and what will determine if God uses you or not." And that's what I want to give you this morning. I said all that just to get it out of the way and tell you why I'm sharing this with you today. I'm going to talk to you about 1 Timothy 5:22. The Bible says, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." Keep thyself pure. Notice the word "keep." It is our duty, our responsibility to stay pure in an impure world. in an impure society. It is our responsibility. Purity is not something we wish for hope for, or long for to become a reality. It is something we must make happen, something we must determine to make it a reality in our lives. It is called sanctification. A pure life is not an easy life, especially in today's society, with so much sin at our fingertips. It's more difficult, I believe, to keep pure than when we can imagine in the past, growing up with some of the technologies that you have at your hands today. Nonetheless, temptation is as old as mankind. We know that. It just has to come in different forms. But it has always been man's most difficult task, to keep pure. Father, please help me as I share these wonderful truths that I believe to the day continue to help me to stay pure, Lord. And that's what my desire is. I believe, Lord, with all my heart, that that is the single most, one of the single most important things that will determine how much you can use us. Please help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God desires our sanctification. He wants to use us, but cannot if we are not clean vessels. Power never skips purity. The roots of influence are embedded in the soil of purity. God is holy, holy, holy. His word is pure. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness when we came to him for salvation. Thank God for salvation. Let us be thankful that we serve a God of mercy, that his mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. Great is his faithfulness. Amen. He is the God of second opportunities. The just man falls 7 times and rises up again. Praise the Lord for a God that gives us second opportunities. In no way do I want you to feel bad this morning, or I'm not preaching this message to bring conviction to those that have messed up or maybe have lost their purity in some way, or a mistake in the past, or you failed the Lord. I don't want to preach this message to feel so you can feel accused this morning. I don't want that at all. And neither do I want to preach it in a way where it's a warning of any fashion. I believe that what I'm going to give you today has helped me personally through 29 years, almost 30 years of Christianity. As a young man in a Christian school, as a young man growing up in the things of God, going to Bible school, the 4 years getting to know my wife during a Bible school, and opportunities that we had to possibly ruin our life, and the opportunities for God to use our life. And yet, here we are by the grace of God. It is not attack, or it's not our strength or who we are that's gotten here. It's all by the grace of God. But I believe that we are here and get to serve God in whatever capacity that God would allow us to, and it's based mostly on our purity. Even today, I would not be the privilege to do what I'm doing today, and whatever I'm doing, the things I started off this morning at 6 in the morning till this very moment, I would not be able to do it with the same the ability or success, if you want to use that word, unless there was purity in my life. Purity is very important, young people. Bible knowledge, education, character counts, all the things that are important are still important, but everything rests on purity. If God can use you to the extent he wants to use you, you cannot skip it, you can't go around it, you can't ignore it, you can't bypass it, you can't belittle it and say it's we're all imperfect. And no, because God in heaven sees us for exactly what we are. We cannot fool God. He knows exactly what we look at, what we listen to, how we think. He knows our thoughts, he knows our motives. And the Bible continues to say, blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see the Lord. God requires purity. Even in us adults that are married and serving the Lord or have responsibility, purity is essential to be used of God. Oh, you might fool some for a while. So long as people give you position, so long as people give you responsibilities, so long as people entrust you and delegate to you responsibilities, you might fool some people for a while, and you might stay busy in the things that people entrust in your hands to do, but sooner than later, God and your purity will determine how much God really uses you in the years to come. And every pastor that's here and every leader here has to admit and has to understand that we are here only by the grace of God. But a lot of what we get to do is based on the fight that we've had every day of our life. Every day that we fight our flesh. Every decision that we fight. Every bad spirit, bad motive that we've had to fight internally will determine how much God can use us. We still have the responsibility as His children not to contaminate ourselves with this world, as peculiar people, to keep pure. Purity is powerful in all areas, not just physically, but inwardly, mentally, emotionally, doctrinally. Our motives must be pure. Our thoughts must be pure. Our heart must be pure. That's why our music matters. Because it influences us on the inside. Our friends matter. Our entertainment matters. God commands us to keep pure. Keep pure. How is your purity doing this morning? How do we expect the Holy God to use our lives if we aren't doing our very best to keep pure? He knows the truth. We can't fool God. We can fool everyone else. But God sees all. There's nothing hidden from God. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says very clearly, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars," based on purity, based on how God sees us and for what we really are, will determine the outcome in our life, how much God will use us or what consequences we'll face. God does not expect perfection. Neither does any leader here expect perfection. He knows we fail Him. God does not get surprised when we fall. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we will fail the Lord. God is faithful and just to forgive our sins, the Bible says. He wants us to deal with sin immediately. Confess it and forsake it, as Pastor constantly tells us and reminds us. This is part of our sanctification process, which enables us purity. God can use us when we are living pure lives. Purity holds a greater value to our lives. When we're truly pure in our conduct, in our conversations, in our decision making, in our attitude, in our actions and things we do, and things we do behind everybody's, when no one else can see us, that determines the value of our Christianity life, of our service to the Lord. Whether you agree or not, but that's the truth. If you're binge watching stuff that you shouldn't be watching during the week, or your diet is only ESPN all week, and all you're thinking about is politics. Now, I like politics, and I listen to politics, but sometimes we can get astray from walking in the Spirit, from looking for God and walking with Him, because we start doing all these other things. We're so in tune with what's going on in sports that we get away from what the Holy Spirit really wants to do in our life. And if we're not careful, that will take us away from a pure life. That's why so many people, I'm guessing, are complaining because of the halftime show in the Super Bowl. They're complaining and what's all that. What else do you expect from the world? That's what the world does. But that should not be so amongst us. You know, I have this, and I hope I don't offend anybody, truly. I'm not praising the person on this card at all. Recently, we heard some news, some awful news of this athlete. And that's not why I'm bringing it up. To be honest with you, I've used this card in this illustration every time I've preached this message. But here's a rookie card from Kobe Bryant. A while back ago, my son and I went to go find out how much they would give us for this card. It's been in this case and been taken care of. The gentleman told us, you know, that card is worth a pretty good amount. Then he told us this. But he says, I would suggest for you not to sell it. As a matter of fact, he told my son, maybe save it for your son. Because when that athlete passes away, that card is going to be very valuable. And I said, but how is that? You know, why did he have to wait to pass away? He said, I really don't know, but the value of it is going to go sky high. We checked on it recently, and it has gone sky high. And the guy said, but make sure you take care of it, because even though it might be an authentic card, if it's bent in the corners, if it's scratched up or touched by your fingers, every little thing that has on it, it will diminish the value. It has to be as pure as possible for it to hold its value. Young people, let me remind you that everything that you have in your life, every bad decision, every bad boyfriend or girlfriend, everything, every bad attitude, every explosion of a bad attitude, or you got mad at the leader, or you got up in the classroom, or you muffled some things against the teacher, every little thing that you do that you think it's okay because, hey, you know what, everybody else is doing, everything that you do diminishes the value on how much God can use you. Purity is very important. What I want to do real quickly is give you the word purity by way of an acrostic on these things that have helped me and helped, I'm sure, so many others stay and keep pure. If you're taking notes, I'd start with the letter P. The letter P for me has been purpose. Purpose. If we are going to be pure, it must be on purpose. We must purpose it in our hearts every day. It must be paramount. It must be a priority for me as a person, for you as a young person. Every day you should purpose in your heart, in your life, to stay and to keep pure. We know the verse, Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You must purpose it. It has to be on purpose. You're not going to be pure, and God's not going to use you just by accident, just because you are a handsome or a pretty, or because you have money or you don't, or because you have a certain testimony or not. God is going to use you based on the availability, on how much power he can give you, on how much he can use you. God is a holy God, and he wants to use us, but we have to keep pure. Sorry, but that is the truth. Anybody that argues that is foolish to argue it. There has to be a purity thing in our life, our commitment. It has to be on purpose. The letter U. Unite. Unite. We must unify our hearts with God. To our parents. To spiritual leaders. To His Word. To the Holy Spirit. Psalms 86:11, the Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. It is very important in this process of trying to keep pure that you unite your heart to your parents. That you are of one mind, one accord with your parents. That you keep tabs, that they keep tabs on you. That you're transparent with your parents. That you're honest with them. That you tell them everything. Because you want to stay united with your parents. They're there, that God put them in your life to help you keep pure. Whenever you venture away from the parents, your main authority in your life, and you stray away from them, you're not no longer united. You're playing around with fire. Same thing with your pastor. Same thing with your spiritual leaders. Same thing from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. We must keep united with God in order for us to stay pure. Paul said it in 1 Timothy 2:2, that ye be like-minded, he told Timothy, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I'll tell you what will help you stay pure. Stay united. Stay united to the church. Stay united to God. Stay united to your spiritual leader. Stay united with the cause. Stay united to your ministry. Stay united to your parents. Stay united to those that care about you and love you, that pray for you, that are going to try and encourage you to stay pure. Don't hang around with people that don't care about your purity. Don't hang around with people that can care less what music. If you get in a car with a so-called friend and you turn on the worldly music and they don't say anything to you, that is one friend that you should not be hanging around with. Your friends should have the courage and the transparency and the honest truth to tell you straight up, you're doing wrong. And because I love you, because you're my friend, I'm telling you. But if your friends don't do that, then you better check your friends. If that girl you're dating, if that guy you're dating are slowly, you know, getting together and starting to hold and touch and wanting to do this and that and looking for opportunity to do so, I would tell you really quickly, that person is probably not a good person in your life. You better take a couple steps back. Stay united. Stay committed. Stay where at any moment your parents can tug on you and pull you this way. Stay with your spiritual leaders where they know what's going on. Involve them in your relationships. Don't be so dumb as to think that, well, because I'm an adult and I don't have to tell anybody. No, keep them involved. Tell them what's going on. Tell them if you're going to go and have a coffee or if you're going to talk, or tell your parents, go in the room before they go to sleep and just tell them, hey, parents, I want to talk to you. I want to tell you what's going on and what this happened or that happened, and tell them, they might be tired and yeah, they might have other responsibilities in their mind, but there's nothing more important to them than you and your purity, and that God would use you and use you well. That's what they want. It's very difficult when we detach ourselves from everybody and want to have a private relationship with someone. It's our business and nobody else's business, really. There's a problem with a couple that when they're talking and having a conversation and anybody else stops by or walks by, there's your conversation should be available to anybody else to hear. Now, I know there's some things that we tell each other maybe that are kind of, you know, I remember with my father-in-law, he would give us 3 minutes a day to talk on the phone. There was no cell phones back then. 3 minutes a day. And at the third minute, he would answer the other phone. And sometimes I'd be telling her, knowing that my time's coming up, I'd be like, hey, I love you. And a couple times, my father would be like, well, Andres, I love you too, but it's time to hang up. Some of you guys, if your parents did that to you right now with your relationship, you would go gung-ho World War III. What about my rights? What about my privacy? What about me? What my rights? My privacy? Yeah. And so have said all those that have lost their purity. Respect for the letter R. Psalms 119:15, the Bible says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. We must never allow ourselves to lose respect towards the things of God. Respect His church. Respect His word. Respect His people. Another word for respect is to esteem, to regard, to honor. These are all words linked to Bible principles and commandments of the word of God. We must keep respect paramount. The day that you can do things in church that are not right or sacrilegious and you don't care, that's a dangerous day for you. Those are the couples that get away in the dark, that look for opportunities in the building of the church, in the offices and classrooms to do sinful things because one day in their life they decided that they didn't respect the church any longer. If you're offensive to your spiritual leaders, if you can walk by one of your spiritual leaders and not even hesitate to even say hello and could care less who they are and just walk by like on purpose, you're nobody. You're playing around with fire. If you can walk by pastors and totally ignore them, like, well, whatever, you're not my pastor, you have issues. You have issues of lack of respect, because I am certain that your parents didn't teach you to be disrespectful. Let alone, if you don't respect the things of God, how are you going to respect others? How are you going to respect yourself? Young ladies, let me remind you that you are a very important treasure to the hearts of your parents. Since you were born, they've loved you. They've given so much for you. They're not perfect. They failed you. We've all failed. But to give away the most sanctified, the most best thing that you have, your purity, to some idiot that has not gained anything, that has no right, no authority to demand anything from you, you give it away so easily. Why? Respect yourself. Respect your parents. If a guy or if a girl is truly interested in you, they will do the right thing and go through your parents, go through spiritual leadership to ask permission, to say, can I be friends with so-and-so? Can I do this? Is it okay? But if there's someone in your life that's bypassing everybody else because, hey, we're adults, we have the right, you're playing around with fire. And if you don't like that, I don't care. I just don't care. And I don't believe anybody should care if you have that lousy attitude, because you're playing around with fire. Not even us that were adults, grown up in our 40s, and some of us in a lot more,
Not even us that have authority. Can we just do things we want to do, correct, Brother Douglas? We have to give an account. We have to check in. We have to notify. We have to call ahead. We have to keep our wives informed. Hey, babe, I'm on my way home. Yeah, you better be. No, just kidding. You know why? Because we respect the testimony, the importance. Respect is very important. I was one time, as a young man, I forget where we were, and I found myself in a job and situation there, supervisor. And after several days, he finally got me in the corner. He says, "Will you stop this yes sir business?" I was in Bible college. He says, "Will you stop that? I'm getting tired of yes sir, yes sir. Just call me Tim," or whatever his name was. I don't remember. He said, no, yes sir, this and yes sir, that. Don't you see nobody else in the business, in the job does that? You look like a fool saying that. Just stop it." And I said, "Yes, sir." How do you respond to leaders? Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. See, would you say, "Well, what's the big deal, Brother Gomez? We're just managing around." What happens is you begin to deteriorate. Those spiritual things, those important things that should be paramount in your life, they begin to diminish. And it's a lot easier to lose your purity, to give up the most important thing, when you don't have nobody that can has the authority in your mind and your eyes to call you on it. That's why those that are struggling with their purity, it doesn't matter who comes to preach here. It doesn't matter even if Brother Hobbs would come up from the dead and preach a message. You're still like, Like I've said this before, it's like somebody preaching and they're going like this. Because that's what you're going to walk away with anyways. That's the truth. I'm telling you. The I is for involve. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Philippians 2:12, the Bible says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, go there with me, 2 Timothy 2:15, if you would. 2 Timothy 2:15, please. The Bible says this: "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Notice the word workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and whatever his name is, who concerning the truth hath erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of Son." Notice in verse 19, please. "And nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are only vessels, not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Paul charged his servants, Jesus charged his servants to occupy until he came. Nehemiah was too busy to sin. Joseph, we had too many responsibilities to sin. Job was too busy praying and offering sacrifices for his sons on the worst day of his life to sin. David, on the day he decided not to stay involved, sinned. Paul charged Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Staying involved will save your testimony, will save your life. Listen to me. Staying involved. I remember growing up, and one of the complaints, if I can call it that, my wife, when we were getting to know each other, she would always say, "Man, well, you don't ever talk to me on Sundays. All I see is running through the hallways and the buskets and this and that. And but you don't talk to me. I saw you. You walked right by me, and you just ignored me." And she'd be like, and I'm like, "I know, I'm busy." But you know, truthfully, she was just as busy. She was the church pianist at the time. She was running junior church, and we were just too busy to talk. We were just too busy. And I think, I'm thankful, and I'm very humbly saying this, that I think we didn't fall into sin, we didn't do stupid things, because we were just simply too busy. How are you? Do you just find all the time you have time to just chat and talk? You're like inseparable, like all the time together. Just you and me. Just like, just go here. Oh, let's go serve over here. Why don't you get busy for the Lord? There'll come a time when you're married that you'll live in the same house and spend all the time together, eat together, do everything together. But right now, get busy for the Lord. What's going to happen is when you do get into the ministry and you decide you want to serve God, she's going to be so used to not getting busy, she'll be like, hey, it's too much for me. I'm only one ministry minded. No, calm down. It's too much for us. I just want to, how about the days where we just sat down together in church? And you're going to have to take a step back in the ministry and be like, man, I want to serve, but I guess I can't because there's this girl that doesn't serve. You don't like what I said, but I don't care again. Some of us like trophy wives. I don't like those. I like girls that serve the Lord. Letter T, and maybe goes along with what I just said. Truthful. Truthful. The truth will set you what? We must be truthful at all costs. The devil is the father of all lies. Once you start down the road of lies, you are destined to fail. You can lie to others. You can even believe your own lies, but you cannot lie to God. God knows the truth. Be truthful to your parents at all costs, even if it means to get in trouble. Be truthful to your spiritual authorities in all your actions and decisions. I know it can seem easy to lie. The devil fools even the very best of us. Abraham lied. Isaac lied, doing the same mistake his father did. Peter lied and said, I know not that man. Yet God used these men. Why? Because they dealt with truth. The truth is very important. Free from the bondage of guilty conscience is the person that always says the truth. When you lie, you subject to the fear of men, to the shame and disgrace that will come because your sin will find you out. Sooner than later, someone will expose you. Sooner than later, the truth will come out. Do not be a deceiver. Do not lie. Always say the truth, even if it means a scolding, even if it means to fess up and go to somebody and go to a parent, go to authority and say, I messed up. It's true. This is what I did. Because that will get you much further than always trying to say, well, it wasn't like, no, and it wasn't as bad. And no, just fess up. So many of us, we're so good to cover our tracks in everything, thinking that somehow God is not going to bring out the truth later. We want to pretend that we didn't mess up over here. And then we want to pretend we didn't do this. And then we want to ignore that problem and that reputation. And then we get to the point where we want God to use us. And we're standing around saying, Lord, pastor said that you have our phone number. What's going on? Should I fax it to you? I'm right here. Can you use me? I'm like, I want to serve you. And I was all this talent, and I was in the school and Christian school, and man, they would put me to sing, and I would do this, and I was, wow, the person of the year. But Lord, can you use me, please? And God's up in heaven saying, what? What about all those lies and pretending you were spiritual, but you really weren't? Where are you in the morning when you should be on your knees praying and talking to your father? Where are you when it counts the most? But see, we're so easy. And then we want God to use us. How? I would be the biggest hypocrite in the world if I came to you today and not having spent time with the Lord, not because I was going to preach this message, but God cannot use someone and will never use someone that is living a lie. Jacob had to figure that one out. 20 years of his life passed, wasted, running, pretending that he had the blessing of God on his life. Pretending, and he took the blessing. It wasn't his right. 20 years later, fast forward, he's begging and saying, please bless me. Please bless me. Wait a minute, I thought you were already blessed. But he was living a lie. And the angel of the Lord had to ask him the same question. Who art thou? What's your name? And he had to say, Jacob. He had to confess that he was the deceiver. You want God to use you? You truly want God to use you? Or are you just here because you just promised your parents to get a diploma from Hiles Anderson College and you got your own plans, and as soon as you can get out of here, you're gone? You want God to use you? Letter Y. Yield every day. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield daily to God. Yield your members. Yield your heart. Yield your body. Yield your desires. Yield your wants. Yield your eyes. Yield your will. Your hands. Your body. Your feet. Everything about you. Your relationships. Your friends. Your habit. Your car. Your car radio. Your telephone. Everything about you. Yield it to God on a daily practice. Your choices. Your entertainment. Your choice of music. Yield it to God. A yielded Christian stands a better chance of keeping pure in a wicked life. As Noah and his wicked generation he lived, we too can be just, perfect, and walk with God. Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of the God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 12:1 says, and admonishes us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. What value do you truly have? Or if we look a lot closer, can we find some things that are just gonna have to be turned away and say, well, I'll give you what really that card is worth now. Before God's eyes, how are you doing in purity today? How is your phone? How's your search engine? History? How's your relationship going with so and so and so and so? Are you guys awfully close? Have you guys done things that you would be ashamed and embarrassed if we all knew what you've done? You see, you might get away with it now, like so many couples in the past probably have, that have come through these halls as well. But you see the one difference, why you see years later some being used of God, and some just, yeah, they have the diploma on their wall, and I'm not judging them, but what happened? Was maybe purity a factor? I'm not perfect by far. I feel the Lord all the time. But sanctification is when we realize we failed God and we run quickly to him. Say, Lord, forgive me, I failed. I said that lie, Lord. It's truthful. See, I remember my relationship with my wife. As growing up together, truthfully, I wasn't ready for her. Truthfully, my mother-in-law had the right to say what she said. But I thank God that God is a merciful God. And every day, it takes purity. Maybe God's not going to use you like he might use a Kevin Wynn or so-so, who else. But we're not competing, or it's not a competition. What we want to be is available to God. But God say, I can use you because you're clean. Clean of motives. You're doctrinally clean. Testimony. Your relationship. You see, the last thing I wanted is get to the altar and my wife to lie to her parents and us to lie and pretend everything was okay. And even though we fool everybody, God in heaven be like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Jacob? God help us, because I truly believe that purity will determine how much God can use you. Father, please bless today's message.